All right, so welcome to the morning. Today's daf is Kuf Nun Hey, and we're going to start again from Kuf Nun Dalid Amud Beis. So we left off yesterday, five lines up from the bottom. Lema Kitanoi. Say that this is Machlokas. So remember again, we're dealing with the Machlokas of Tzdadim. What began as a Machlokas concerning the donkey. Right? When Chazal said that you can't use Baalei Chaim on Shabbos, so what did they mean? Did they mean you can't use Baalei Chaim at all, or you can't use Baalei Chaim in the primary way in which Baalei Chaim would be used? Let's say for riding on it, but if you were to use the side of the animal, either like we saw yesterday with Rabbo playing with the skin on the side of the animal, or let's say leaning against the side of the animal, is that also called Hishtamshus? So the Gemara tried to bring a Raya from Sukkah, right? In the case of Sukkah, where you had a Sukkah that had, the Gemara quoted two different cases, right? One case in which, again, you had two regular walls, and the third wall was made of a tree. The second case was three walls, the fourth wall of the tree, and the Gemara tried to prove from that it studded. Even though, again, you can't use a tree on Yom Tov, remember, again, the Mishnah said, you can make the sukkah's kosher, but you can't go into it on Yom Tov. And when we say Yom Tov, I think I made this one, but I want to clarify, I say Yom Tov means Yom Tov itself, not Cholamoy, actual Yom Tov. So again, the Gemara different yourselves on that, but the question is, did that prove it one way or the other? So the Gemara said, Lema Ketanoi, say that this whole thing is Machlokes Tanoim. Ain't Olin B'Yom Tov. Reb Shimon, Allah's Arm, Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Olin La B'Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, let's say that this case in Sukkah is a Machlokes Tanoim. One opinion said that you may not go into the Sukkah that uses the tree as a wall on Yom Tov. Reb Shimon, Allah's Arm, says the name of Rabbi Meir, Olin La B'Yom Tov. My love, B'Hakim Ifligi. Are they not arguing about the following point? Dimar Savar Tzdadin Asurin. One opinion says that Tzdadin, to use the side of the tree, is Asur. Umar Savar Mutarin. And the other opinion says that it's Mutar. Amr Abayi Lo. Dichuli Amat Tzdadin Asurin. Abayi says, no, everyone holds that the side of the tree is considered to be full usage of the tree, and therefore it's Asur. B'Hakha B'Tzide Tzdadin Kamifligi. What are we arguing about over here, Abosai? The sides of the sides. Now we'll say, what does it mean, the sides of the sides? So just to illustrate this in a simple way, remember how this whole discussion got started, is the concern in Sukkah is not really the use of the side of the tree itself. Remember, what the Gemara now is suggesting is the following. The model is you have the two walls of the Sukkah, the tree is your third wall, and what are you doing? You're supporting planks on the side of the tree. Let's say you hollow out a piece of tree, you're supporting planks, and you put the schach on top of the planks. Right? So now remember, the whole issue over here is people would put stuff on the schach and take stuff off. They would keep their pots on the schach and then take the pots off afterwards. So the Gemara says, that's the argument over here. This is called tzidet stocking. You're not directly using the side of the tree itself. Instead, what are you using? You're using that which is supported by the side of the tree. It's one step removed. So the Gemara now is suggesting, Rabbi is suggesting, everyone agrees that tzadin is asur. The shayla is, what about tzidet tzadin? So Mar Savar tzidet tzadin asur. One opinion says asur. Umar Savar tzidet tzadin mutarin. Rava Amar Rava says, man da asur bit tzadin. Asur nami bit tzidet tzadin. Man da shari bit tzidet tzadin. Shari nami bit tzadin. So Rava says, Rava wants to suggest that no, it's all intertwined. He who holds that tzadin are mutar will hold tzidet tzadin are mutar. He who holds that tzadin are asr will hold tzidet tzadin are asr. So Rava disagrees with Abaye and says there's no separate machlokas about tzidet tzadin. Tzidet tzadin is just simply an extension of the machlokas of tzadin. So the Gemara says, Eser Mishashi the Rava. So Mishashi says, maybe that's not so pashit. Na'at yasad bi'im. Both an interesting case. A person puts a peg in a tree. Okay, drive like a, maybe a stake is a better, I plunge something into a tree. And what happens? Vitala ba kalkala. And I hang a basket from the peg. So the Gemara says like this. So first of all, look at Rashi. Tala ba kalkala, v'nasan ba iruvo. And again, on the peg, I hung my eruv. It was a table over here of an eruv tchumen. Right, in Yeretz, in just a few days, we will be fully immersed in these sugyos. But remember, an Erev Tchumen is an Erev that allows you to extend your 2,000 amas. So the whole idea is you place your food in a particular place, and that gives you a makom shvisa, that establishes a domicile, and you have 2,000 amas from your domicile. So the Gemara says, for example, so I put a peg in the tree, I hang my Erev from that peg. So the Gemara says, "Lemala me'asar tefachim in eruva eruv." If the peg is higher than 10 tefachim, the eruv is not good. So we'll say the pashtus. The reason for that is because remember, you're nirshus rabim. The avi of rishus only goes up to 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim and above is a different for shus. Now, to make it more complicated, Rashi points out over here that the basket very often had dimensions of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which makes it 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim above 10 tefachim, makes it its own rishus. Which means that if, again, the basket was above 10 tefachim, the Erev would not be good because you wouldn't have access to the Erev on Shabbos. L'mata niyut tefachim, however, if it was below 10 tefachim, Eruva Erev, the Erev would be good. So what's that? The Gemara says, Taima dina'at yasad bi'ilon. So the only reason why this Erev is accessible to you is because you put a peg in the tree. Halo na'at, but if you did not put a peg in the tree, would be tempted to say that even below 10 tefachim would not be an Eruv. So we'll say, what does that show you? That shows you that, remember, the peg is tzidet studin, right? The tree, using the side of the tree would be studin. The peg is tzidet studin, and yet we see over here that there is a man who says what? That even tzidet, that again, the only reason you could use this Eruv is because of the peg. But if again, if it wasn't because of the peg, then even lamata miyud would be aser. So the Gemara says, "V'ha haytana deka aser b'tzadin deka shari b'tzidei tzadin." And however, the Gemara knows this, but the Gemara knows that the Tana of this particular brayso happens to be of the opinion that tzadin are aser, but yet what permits tzidei tzadin. This is a refutation of Rava, because Rava wanted to say that the Mandamar who holds Stadin our Mutter will hold Tzidet Stadin our Mutter. The Mandamar who holds Stadin our Aser will hold Tzidet Stadin our Aser. And yet we see what? That's clearly not true. To which the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Hacha Bekha Kala Dehuka Askina. This is a different case. The basket over here that we're talking about is a basket with a very narrow opening. The Bahadi Deshaki Lele Eruv Kamenadi Lele Ilan, the Kamenashmesh Be Ilan Gufei. Goes that because it's a narrow opening, in order to put your hand in it, what do you have to do? You have to move the basket. Moving the basket is automatically going to result in movement of the tree. And therefore, again, this is not a case of tzidet studin. This is a case of mamish ishtamshus, usage of the tree itself. And if our local maizah, that's why it's asur. Behilchasa, how do we paskin? Studin asurin, you're not allowed to use the side. Now, we'll say, when it says studin asurin, studin will be for anything. That'll be true for the animal. That'll be true for the tree. The sides are aser. Tzidet studin mutarin. But one step removed, using the tzad of the tzad, that'll be mutar. So, for example, that'll be the peg case. Amar Rashi, hashtad da amrit studin asurin. Now that you've said essentially that studin are asurin, let's just say, hai darga de midla. If you have a ladder, darga is a ladder, de midla. Midla literally means hangs. In this case, it really means leans. Look at Rashi. Darga de midla. Sulam sha'olim bo lusukas nodrim. So they used to have these ladders that led up to watchtowers. Tall ladders that led up to watchtowers. Looking at Rashi. Lusukas nodrim. Sha'osin agabe kundesin. Gavon. They made them on top of very high poles. Vehi simucha li'ilan. So we'll say now, the Gemara says, now that we've learned that tzidet, that studin are asurin, and tzidet studin are mutarin, therefore if you have this very tall ladder that leads up to the watchtower, lo linche inesh adikla, don't go ahead and lean it against the palm tree, dahavalut studin, because that's considered to be usage of the side of the tree. Rather, what should you do? El linche agovozi. Rather, what should you do? Lean them against the gavozi, lebar midikla, on the outside of the tree. Now look at Rashi. Elvin chayah gavaz li bar midikla, yitaka yaseid b'tzidei ha'ilon, v'yismo chasulam alav, dahavi le yaseid studim v'sulam tzidei. So the Gemara says, put a peg against the, right, put, hammer in a peg onto the outside of the palm tree, and lean the ladder against the peg, because that'll then be tzidei studim v'chisodik, and when you go down the ladder, lo linach kari agavzoi, el lisnach akonin. And when you go down the ladder, don't go ahead and put your feet on any of the protrusions of the palm tree. Rather, make sure to only use the rungs of the ladder itself. Okay, so the Gemara is just giving an illustration of the halacha of tzadin versus tzidet tzadin. Mishnah. Matirin pakia amir l'pnei behema. You can go ahead and untie. I will say the topic over here is going to be what you can do to go ahead and feed your animal on Shabbos. Obviously, you're obligated to feed your animals on Shabbos. You're obligated to feed your animals every day. You're obligated to go ahead and feed your animals on Shabbos. But the question is, how much tircha, how much effort, how much work are you permitted to do, not malacha, but how much tir, how much exertion are you permitted to do to feed your animals? So the Gemara said the following, matirin pakiya amr lifnei behema. You can go ahead and untie bundles of straw for your animal on Shabbos. Umifas v'sin es hakipin. Furthermore, you can go ahead, mefas v'sin means spread out. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, mefas v'sin, shikin derech shem mefazon behema asavim, v'yofen la'ochlan. So apparently what people used to do with animal feed is, you wouldn't just untie a bundle of animal feed and just plunk it down, but what you would do is you would spread it out. You would spread it out in front of the animal. So Rashi actually says, because this is also the aroma of the food, becomes more enticing for the animal.
Delectable.
Delectable. Mamish. Okay. Good. Good. It entices the animal, becomes a little bit more delectable to the animal. So the in mefasasin, so we'll discuss what the word kipin means. Abal lo es hazirin. But you can't do this with zirin. We'll define in the Gemara what zirin is. Ein meraskin lo es hashachas velo es haharuvin. You can't go ahead. Meraskin means shred. You can't go ahead and shred shachas. I will say, we'll see, shachas is a type of fast-growing grain that was used for animal feed. And haruvin are caribs. Before lifnei behem. So you can't crush up the or shred the shachas or the haruvin. Again, we'll say, not that there's a malach involved over here, but this is more of tircha yisir, unnecessary exertion. Lifnei behema, in front of your animal. Bein daka, bein gasa. Whether it's a large animal or a small animal, or I should say a small animal or a large animal, Rabbi Huda matir becharuvin ledaka. Rabbi Huda allows the shredding of caribs for a young animal or a small animal. Amar Rav Huna, hein pikiyin, hein kifin. So also the Gemara says that pikiyin and kifin, Rav Huna says pikiyin and kifin are really the same thing. Both represent bundles of straw. So what is the difference between them? Pekin, tray, kifin, tlasa. Pekin are bundles that are tied with two knots. Kifin are bundles that are tied with three knots. Rashi points out over here. Hein, pekin, hein, kifin. Kulin, kashin, shalshi, balin, hein. Mio, pekin, tray, fine. So the Gemara says, zirin, what are zirin? The arzi. So we'll say, interesting enough, zirin are moist branches of cedar wood. Right, that were usable for animal feed. Most times they were going to be used, by pashtos, they were going to be used for firewood. But when they're still moist, they could also be used to feed animals. The hachi kamar, and this is what the Mishnah means to say, matirin pikiye amir lifnei behema. You can go ahead and untie pikiye amir. So again, we'll say according to this version, you could untie the bundles that are tied with two knots for your behema. Umefas v'sin, and you could spread out this straw as well. And this is true for keeping also, for the bundles that are tied with three knots. Avaloes hazirin. But you may not go ahead and untie bundles of cedar branches, moist cedar branches. Lo lefasfes v'lo lehatir. You can't spread them out in front of the animal, nor can you go ahead and untie the bundles. Amar Rav Chista, my time is Rav Huna. Why is this, right? Why can't you go ahead and untie or spread out the bundles of cedar branches? Kasavar. Because Rav Huna holds to go ahead and exert yourself, to go ahead and untie and spread out the food that you're permitted to do. But to go ahead and engage in a process of transforming something into food that you can't do on Shabbos. It will say, what does that mean? So Rav Huna says like this, the tircha involved with untying the bundles and spreading it out, that's fine. But to go ahead and take something that was not a food item and to convert it into food, that you can't do on Shabbos. So what is he referring to? The cedar branches. As we said before, bepashtos, a bundle of cedar branches was going to be used for what? It was going to be used for firewood. To go ahead and now untie that and spread it out into the animal is an act of transforming it from firewood into animal feed. That's Rav Huna says you can't do on Shabbos. Rabbi Huda says, hein pikin, hein zirin. So interestingly enough, so Rabbi Huda says that pikin and zirin are the same thing, right? But obviously not the same thing if they have different names. So pikin tray, zirin tlasa, pikin as two knots, zirin as three knots, kipin the arzi, kipin happen to be the cedar branches. V'hachikar, and this is what the Mishnah means to say, matirin pikin amr lifnei behema. You can go ahead and untie bundles of straw to feed it to your animal. Avam pispuselo. But you can't go ahead and spread it out with your hand. Because you want to say, yeah, that's unnecessary. That's not, the animal, it's not going to be delectable or enticing to the animal. No, when the animal gets hungry, it'll eat. You don't have to go ahead and start spreading it out. The kifin, pispuse nami mifasinon. But when it comes to kifin, you can even spread it out. Avalo hazirin lefasveis ela lahatir. But zirin cannot be spread out, right, the cedar branches. Rather, they can only be untied. Amar Rava, my time at Rav Yehuda. What's Rav Yehuda's logic? Kasavar shavuye ochla mishavinon. Mitrach bo'ochla lo tarchinon. Rav Yehuda holds that you can go ahead, Rabosai, and engage in a process of transforming something into food. But you can't go ahead and engage in tircha. So according to Rav Yehuda, if you have a choice between a less labor-intensive process that transforms an item from a non-food item into a food item, and a choice between that and a more labor-intensive process, you go with the transformation process. So listen, here we have a fundamental machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna, namely, what's permitted on Shabbos. Do we say that tircha is permitted as long as it's a food item? Right? And even if it's going to be more tircha, as long as it's tircha for an already existing food item, or do we say no? That the less tircha, the better, and we would even allow you to transform a non-food item into a food item, which is a more profound change, as long as it has less tircha. Fundamental machlokes Rabbi Huda and Rav Huna. Simur says, Tanan, Ein meraskin lo es ha-shachas ve-es ha-charuvin, lifnei behema, bein daka, bein gasa. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? You can't shred this shachas, which was, remember, this fast-growing grain, nor can you shred carobs in front of a behema dak or a behema gaso, be it for a small animal or a large animal. My love, charuvin dumi the shachos. Are we not talking about a case of carobs that are similar to shachos? Ma shachas derechichi, just like the wheat, fast-growing wheat is soft. Af charuvin derechichi. Therefore, again, and also the carobs are soft. What do you see from there? So we'll say, even though they're soft, you can't shred it up. Alma lo tarchinan ba'ochlin. What does that show you? That we can't engage in excessive tircha for the sake of making food a little bit more palatable for the animals. V'tiyufta d'Rav Huna. And this would be a refutation of Rav Huna. Amalacha Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, lo, shachas dumi d'charuvin. No, it's actually a case of the shachas that's comparable to the carobs. Ma charuvin da'akushi. Just like carobs are hard. Af shachas da'akushi. So too again, we're talking about shachas that is hard. Heichim mashkachas. But how can you have that shachas is normally very soft? Be ilizutri. The Gemara says, for example, if you're preparing food, ilizutri are young donkeys. So young donkeys, I guess, have difficulty chewing. So even something like shachas, which would normally be soft, for young donkeys would still have to be shredded. Tashma, Rabbi Huda mati becharuvin, ledako. Rabbi Huda permits shredding of charuvin for a daka animal. Now, daka bepashas means a small animal. Bless you. Ledako in legasalo. Is that to say for a small animal, yes, but for a gasa, no. E armit bishlamatana kama savar mitrach ba'ochlo lo tarchinon. So it makes sense, if you say that the Tanakama holds, that we don't engage in additional tircha for readying food for animals, then shavuye mishayunon. So then it makes sense that Rabbi Huda would say that for the carobs, for a small animal, for a small animal, it's only food if you shred it up. The small animal can't eat the carobs unless you shred it up. But if the Tanakhama holds that you can't transform non-food items into food items, but you can engage in additional exertion for items that are already considered food items. Rabbi Huda demate becharuv and ledako kol shekin legaso. The Rabbi Huda who allows you to shred the carrots for a dako is truly nice to do it for a gasa as well. To which the Gemara says mis savris dako dako manu. So also the Gemara here gives a very interesting answer. Do you think that dako here literally means dako? My dako gasa. What does the daka mean? Daka means gasa. Okay. Umai kari the daka. So why does it call a daka? A gasa animal a daka? The daika bo'uchla. Because it chews its food very well. That's a very, very interesting answer. Hami diktani reisha ve daka ve gasa. Mechlad Rabbi Huda daka daka mamish kamar. But come on. But the fact that the Mishnah goes ahead and makes a chiluk between a daka and a gasa, and Rabbi Huda Dafka says that it applies to a daka, indicates that that's not true. That daka here means daka, and gasa means gasa. To which the Gemara says, kasha. You're right, it's a good kasha. Tashma, mechatchin es hadluim lefnei ha-behema. So now the Gemara quotes another bite. So you can cut up diluin. Diluin are gourds. Are gourds in front of an animal. And you could also go ahead and cut up a carcass in front of dogs. For dogs. So the Gemara says the following. My love, diluin dumya dinevela. Now, Bosse, here's what's interesting. The fact that the Braisa groups these two food items together, grouping the diluin with the nevela. So we're not talking about a case of gourds that are like a nevela. My nevela derachicha, just like nevela, the carcass of the animal, is soft. Af diluin derachichi. So too, again, the gourds will be soft. What does the Braisa allow you to do? The Braisa allows you to still cut it up for the animal. We'll say, again, what the Braisa saying is like this. Bepashtos, since it's soft, the animal should be able to eat it without any further preparation. But yet the Braisa says that you could still go ahead and cut it up for the animal. That would seem to indicate that what? Amo tarchinron bo'ochle. Therefore we see that you can engage in additional exertion to make food even more edible for the animal. Vitiyuf to the Rabbi Yehuda, and this would be a refutation of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalacha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, nevela dumya de diluin. He's actually talking about a case of a nevela that's like a gourd. Ma diluin da'ashuni. Just like the diluin is hard, ashuni is hard. Af nevela di'ishuna. So we're dealing with the case of nevela that's hard also. And therefore, the Braisa says that you can go ahead and cut it up. That's because if you don't cut it up, then what? It's not going to be edible by the animal. So the Gemara says, "Dehechi mishkachasla." What's a case of hard nevela meat? To which the Gemara says, "Bebasar pili," elephant meat. Elephant meat. Okay. Inami, biguriasa zutri. Or even if you want to say it's regular meat, but what are we talking about? Guriasa zutri is puppies, right? So little puppies, which again have difficulty eating, even if it's soft meat, you'd still have to go ahead and cut it up for them. Tashma the Tani Rav Chanan min Arda mefarchinon teven va'aspasta. You can go ahead and mefarchinon literally means crumble. You could crumble up teven is straw. Aspasta, that's not an Italian dish, right? Aspasta is actually one of these also fast growing grains that was often used for animal feed. So you can go and you could crumble these items up on Shabbos umarvin, and you can mix them. You can mix them. Rashi points out over here, Ma'arvin, hateven v'haspasta yachod, v'habehema ocheles hateven b'shil aspasta. So apparently, aspasta was a little bit more palatable for the animal. So, but we wanted the animal to eat straw. So what they would often do is they would crumble up the teven and the aspasta, and they would mix it together. So you could do this on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Alma, tarchinon b'ochla. Therefore, what do you see here in the Bible? The teven is edible on its own. The aspasta is edible on its own, but yet, what do we see you're able to do? You're permitted to engage in additional tirk, an additional exertion, to make it even more edible for the animal. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case over there? Teven betivna saria. We're talking about over there, spoiled teven. So we'll say spoiled teven by itself is not edible. Aspasta be'ili zutri. And when it comes to aspasta, look at ili zutri, Rashi says, Ilizuchi means young donkeys. So the Gemara is talking about over here where, no, maybe these items are not necessarily edible on their own. So for example, if the teven was spoiled, the animal's not going to eat spoiled teven. If you mix it in with something else, the animal might. And the aspastas also won't be edible just in its regular form. Let's say by young donkeys. I guess young donkeys can't chew hard things. So even aspasta, which is normally edible, you'd have to crumple it up. So we'll say, how do we paskin? So again, this is not so l'maisa, but it's an interesting machlokes. So when faced with the choice on Shabbat, you know, on one hand, tircha yisera, on one hand, what do we look at? Do we try to minimize tircha? Do we try to minimize exertion? And therefore, again, if I have a choice between working more with an already existing food item versus transforming something that is not a food into a food but requires less exertion, which one will I go with? Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna. One will say, better to exert yourself more with a food item than to transform something. Because as much as the exertion is more physical labor, the act of transforming something is more doma lemalacha. The other opinion will say, no, we look at there's no real malacha happening over here. We look at exertion. Better to transform a non-food item into a food item than to exert yourself more. So just very quickly, because we have no time allotted to this, but in Simen, Shin Chav Dalid, Sif Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. He says, Dishavi Ochel B'davar she'eino ochel mutar la'asoso ochel. Ochel. The halacha is that you are permitted to transform a non-food item into a food item on Shabbos. Aval mitrach bo'ochla b'davar shoroi la'achila lo tarchino de la'achshira ulatakno yoser. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is defined. When it comes to my animal, if the food is edible, I may not engage in any additional malacha to make the food more delectable or more edible. As long as it's really edible by the animal, no additional malacha, no additional tircha on my part. However, the Shulchan Aruch does permit, if there is a non-food item that could be easily transformed into a food item, that's the case, let's say, of the cedar vines, of the cedar branches, then all you need to do is what? Untie the bundle. That's all you need to do, is nothing else. Then halacha maaseh, the Shulchan Aruch allows me to do that. So again, we paskin like, according to the opinion, that halacha maaseh, as long as there's no tircha involved to transform, that's going to be okay. But lemaaseh, to do additional exertion to make the food more delectable, more enticing to the animal, that you can't do on Shabbos. Says Mishnah. Ein uv sinas hagamal be'elof. So I'll say, now we come to still with animals. Ein uv sinas hagamal. You can't force feed. We'll discuss what this is. You can't force feed a camel on Shabbos. Below Darsin. Suppose like Darsin, we'll see. What ends up happening is people force fed their animals all the time. Especially camels when going on long trips and people did not know when they were going to have provisions for the animals. So you can't force feed a camel below Darsin. Darsin also means force feeding. Rashi points out two differences. A, it means with barley as opposed to with wheat. And B, apparently Ofsin, we'll see, means force feeding a lot. Darsin means force feeding a little. All right. Aba mal'itin. However, you can mal'itin. I will say, I'll give you translations for these words, but we will define them more specifically in the Gemara. Mal'itin means you could put the food down the animal's throat. Ve'im ma'amirin es ha'agolim. And you can't be ma'amirin. You can't fatten up the calves. However, aba mal'itin, but as we said before, you could put food down their throat. Umehalakten l'tarnagolin, and you could force feed the chickens. Venosin mayim lemorsa, and you can mix in water with their bran. Avalogovlin, but you can't knead it. Veinosin mayim lufnei devorin, you can't put water in front of bees. Let's say you have a hive, you can't put water in front of bees. Velifnei yonim shebeshovach, or in front of the doves that are in the dovecote. Avalnosin lufnei ozin, but you could put water in front of the geese, the tarnagolin, and the chickens. V'lifnei yonei hadrisios. And if I find that, so we'll say this is actually interesting. This machlok is yonei hadrisios. So Rashi says, ashe makomam, that these are called pigeons from hadris. Others say that actually this is supposed to be Herodian pigeons. Herodian pigeons is apparently a type of bird that Herod bred when he was in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. So we'll say, all of this is talking about over here. What now? Remember, there's no malacha done over here. These are not talking about, this is not malacha issues. The issue over here is one of tircha. What level of exertion are you permitted to engage in for your animal on Shabbos? So says the Gemara, my ein ofsin, now we're going to go through these one by one. What does it mean that you can't ofsin, you can't stuff the animal? Amar Rav Yehuda, ein ofsin la'avus besoch me'eha. You can't make the animal's stomach into a trough. Then I will say, what does that mean? That means forcing the animal an incredible amount. That literally the trough, you know, the trough is where you put all of the food. You can't force the animal to the degree that you turn the stomach of the animal into a trough. Someone says, "Me, kai gavna, is it possible to do that?" That's a lot of force feeding. To which the Gemara says, "In ukid Rav Yomi Medifti, because Rav Yomi Medifti said, Lididi chazi v'ehutai, I saw an Arab." The achla kura, he force fed his animal a kur. We'll say a kur is a huge amount of food. Va'atine kura, and he put another kur on the camel's back. That's the Gemara is pointing out. Yes, you can force feed your animal a lot. Okay, so the point is you wouldn't do this on Shabbos because of the tircha involved for the owner of the animal. Ein ma'ir. So we'll say also what's interesting is apparently these practices were not considered to be tzar balechayim, which is interesting also. Very interesting also, because it sounds to us like, of course, it's Tzar Bali Chaim, but in fact, the Gemara is talking about Tzar Bali Chaim over here. And again, remember, it's not like the Gemara is ignoring Tzar Bali Chaim. We saw Tzar Bali Chaim came up in the previous sugyas, so I don't know, we'll have to give a little more attention later. So Gemara says, Vayter, in ma'amir. So in ma'amir means, again, you can't fatten up the animal. So Gemara says, Ezuhi ha'amara ve'ezuhi ha'alota. What is the difference between fattening up the animal and putting down the food down the throat of the animal? We'll say, both seem to indicate this idea of force feeding the animal. So what's the difference? Amar Rav Yehuda, Hamara lemakom she'ena yechola lahachzir. So Rabbi Yehuda says hamara means putting the food down the animal's throat. I don't know what the medical term for this is, but you know, past the place where the gag reflex works, you put it far enough down the throat that the animal essentially has to swallow it. The swallowing reflex kicks in. So that's called hamara. Steven, anything for that? Nothing. Okay, sorry. All right. So now you put it down to the point where it can't return it. Halata lemakom sheichol lahachzir. So halata means putting the food in the animal's mouth down to the point where the animal could still choose not to swallow it. Rav Chisra will say obviously there's much more exertion, I would assume, involved in the hamara, where you have to put it far enough down the animal's throat that the animal will definitely swallow it. Rav Chista Amar Idi V'Idi L'Makom Shenichol L'Achzir. Rav Chista says no, both refer to putting it down the throat of the animal to the point where the animal cannot return it up, it has to swallow it. I see, what's the difference? V'Hamora B'Kli, Hamora is done with a utensil. Hal'ota B'Yad, whereas Hal'ota is done with your hand. Okay. Master Yosef raises a kasha. Mahalakdin L'Tarnagolim, you can go ahead. That means you could force feed the chickens. The ain't sarach lomar shem malkitin, and you don't even have to say that you're malkitin. The ain malkitin liyone shvach, but you can't go ahead and malkitin again. We'll define what this word means in just a moment. You can't, which obviously means some kind of force feeding. You can't do malkitin for the doves of the dovecot. Uliyone aliyah. The ain't sarach lomar shein mahalakdin. And it goes without saying that ein mahalakdin. I will say again, mahalakdin we also define as force feeding. So the Gemara says, the ein mahalakdin, I'm sorry, my mahalakdin, my malkitin. What is the meaning of these terms? Ilema mahalakdin, the safile biadayim. If you want to say the mahalakdin means that you force feed with your hands, malkitin the shadi le kamayhu. And malkitin just means that what? You throw the food in front of the animal. Mechlal de yone shvach. Shovach, v'yone aliyah, mishta kamayo namilo. Is that to say then that when it comes to doves with a dovecote, or yone aliyah, literally birds that live by the house, that you will not be permitted to go ahead and put food in front of them? So that can't be. Elalav, mahalakdin lamachum shinichol lahachzir. Rather, it must be mahalakdin means you force feed the animal down the throat of the animal to the point that it can't regurgitate it. Malkitin lamakum sheichol lahachzir. Malkitin means that you put it in the animal's throat to the point where it can still regurgitate it. Michlal da hamora bikli. This would seem to indicate that hamora is a different level, that hamora must be force feeding done with a utensil. The tiyuf to Rabbi Yehuda. This would be a refutation of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalach Rabbi Yehuda. No. Liolam mahalakdin desafi le biadayim. Mahalakdin means you force feed the animal with your hands. Malkitin deshadi le kamayu. And malkitin means you put the food in front of the animal. You're not forcing, you just put it in front of the animal. I vidika kashilacha. Yone shovach the yone aliyah. I'm sorry. The kashi lechal yoni shovach v'yoni aliyah lemishtar kamayu namilo. And I will say, remember the problem that we had. That saying that malkitin means to go ahead and just simply put food in front of the animal. The problem we had with that is why would that be usur, right? Why would it be usur to just put food out in front of the birds, in front of the doves? What would be the issue about that? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Honey mizonasan alecha v'honey ein mizonasan alecha. These animals, we're talking about birds. When are you permitted to feed an animal on Shabbos or Bosai? When the animal is yours, when you have a responsibility to feed it. But if the animal is not yours, then you are not permitted to feed that animal on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ein mizonason alecha. No, I'm sorry, that's actually not yet. That's in the Braisa. That's not right. Fine. Actually it is. So also the point the Gemara is making over here is that yes, there would be a case where even putting food out in front of an animal would be also, namely in the case of an animal that is not your responsibility. So it's a very important yisod. Now what's wrong with feeding an animal that's not your responsibility? So truth is, this is a couple different opinions on this. Some say that feeding an animal that's not your responsibility might actually be an issue of tzeda, might actually be a potential offshoot of trapping. Since one of the ways in which people go ahead and trap animals is to lay out the bait of food. But on a simpler level, the Gemara is suggesting is it's tircha yisera. It's unnecessary exertion. This animal is not my responsibility. I have no obligation towards this animal. And therefore, to feed it on Shabbos is tircha yisera. Kidisayin, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Nosnin mezonos lifnei kelef. You go ahead and you could feed a dog on Shabbos. ve'enosnin mizonos etnei chazir. But you don't feed a pig on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, my hefresh ben zeloza. What's the difference between them? I'm sorry? Mamish. Such a chasid. Right? Good. What's the difference between this one and that one? So the Gemara says, ze mizonos savalecha, ve'ze ein mizonos savalecha. This one you have an obligation to feed, and this one you don't have an obligation to feed. Now, also remember, the Gemara presupposes that the pig is not your animal, because Jews are not permitted to raise pigs. Right? So halacha lemaisa, the Gemara says, therefore, by definition, the dog, possibly the dog is yours. Now, we'll see even the dog that's not yours still have an obligation to feed. But again, but certainly the pig is not yours, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, no obligation to feed it. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amrav Ashi, mas nisin nami dega. The Mishnah seems to support this as well. Ein nosnin mayim lifnei divarim lifnei yonim shabashavach. What did the Mishnah say? You may not put out water on Shabbos in front of the bees or in front of the doves in the dovecote. Aval nosnin lifnei ovzin, which you can put in front of the geese, lifnei tarnagolin, and in front of chickens, lifnei yoni hadrisios, and in front of Herodian pigeons. My time, or what's the reason? Lav mishum dahani mizonosan alecha, vahani ein mizonosan alecha. Very simply, because in the case of the geese, the chickens, and the pigeons, those are your animals, and you're responsible for them. As opposed to the cases of the bees and the doves in the dovecote, those are not your responsibility. Ula ta'ameich, my iria maya, afilu chiti usari namilo. And in that case, why did the Mishnah only say water? Right? Why did it say water? It would apply to anything. Ela shiny maya de shchicha ba'agma. Mar says, you're right, inachinah, maybe the Mishnah is not a good proof. Maybe the reason you can't go ahead and put out water in front of the bees and in front of the birds, the doves of the dovecote is because water is easily found. Right? So therefore, there's no reason to be matriach yourself for that. They can find their own water. But maybe by food, which would be more difficult to find, you would be obligated to put them on. And therefore, again, the point the Gemara is making over here is the Mishnah is not a riot to what we just wanted to say before. So we'll say, one thing we do come out with this is that halacha lemaisa, the only animals that you could feed on Shabbos are animals that are yours. This is why, just as an aside, you know, there's an interesting minhag on Shabbos Shira to feed birds. So many posts, that has to do with the whole idea of Yam Suf. But many poskim are vehemently against this particular minog because of this halacha that you're not permitted to feed animals that are not yours on Shabbos, either because of the issue of tzeda, that it's a potential issue of trapping, or more importantly, it's an issue of tircha. It's unnecessary exertion for saying that you're not obligated to do on Shabbos. It's an interesting application of this. Darish Rabbi Yonah apischa de benesia. So Rabbi Yonah darish in the entrance we have the house of the Nasi. Listen to this. What is the meaning of the pasuk? Yodea tzadik din dalim. That the righteous one knows the literally the din, the sentence of the impoverished. Listen to this. Yodea kodesh baruch hu bekelev shemizonosav mu'atin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about the dog, that the dog has little food. Well, I think this is a mefurish raya, that Jews don't have dogs. Right? Jews don't have dogs. Right? Jews don't have dogs. Right? Right? Why? Right? Two things I saw when I came to Baltimore that I managed never saw before. Right? There's so many people with dogs and pickup trucks. This is the Jews with pickups and Jews with dogs. All right, fine. So the Gemara says, you see from here, right, that the Kelev, the dog, mizonosav mu'atin. The dog has difficulty finding food, right? The dog is a scavenger, right? And the dog often goes hungry. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? L'fichach shoa achilasu b'meyav gimol yamin. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something amazing. Apparently, the dog has the ability to, the dog digests its food for 3 days. And therefore, again, the dog, even if it's able to find food sporadically, the dog is able to last a little bit longer. Kedisnan, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Kamat, a Mishnah had nothing to do with this, but just an illustration. Kamat tisha achilosu amei avyei tomei, bekelev gimel yom me'eis la'i. So almost says, interesting thing. Let's say a dog ate human flesh. So human flesh, remember, has the ability to convey toma in the size of a kezias. So let's say a dog ate human flesh. So once the dog eats it, obviously it's nothing. But let's say the dog dies, and the human flesh comes out of the dog. So now the shayla is, does it still have the status of human flesh and it's metame, or no? Once, so the Gemara says, it depends. If it was in the dog for 3 days, after 3 days, it's decomposed enough that it's no longer human flesh. But let's say if the human flesh were to come out of the dog within 3 days after the dog consumed it, halach lemaaseh would still have the status of flesh and can still convey tumah. Uba ofos ubedagim, and that's 3 24-hour periods. Uba ofos ubedagim. However, again, if human flesh was consumed by birds or by fish, it only retains the identity of flesh, the amount of time that it would take it to fall into the fire and burn up. Or in other words, apparently birds and fish have a much faster digestion process, and therefore the flesh would essentially lose its identity very quickly. Amar Rav Humnuna, Shma Mina, learn from this, Orach Ara Lemishto Umtzilakalba. You see from here that it is appropriate to throw a piece of meat to a dog. Right, the fact that the dog is a scavenger, the dog doesn't have a lot to eat. So you see from here that you should look out for the dog. Look out for the dog and throw the dog a piece of meat. Vikama, how much meat should you throw the dog? Amarav Mari, Mashach Udne, Bechutra Abasre. So Mari says something very interesting. Throw the dog a piece of meat the size of an ear. Not an ear, but the size of an ear. Right? Throw the dog a piece of meat, a chunk of meat, but make sure to hit the dog with a stick afterwards. What does that mean? Drive the dog away. Because if you don't drive the dog away, what's going to happen? The dog, you're going to have a new best friend. Man is going to have a new best friend. Right? So in order to ensure that the dog does not latch on to you, feed it. Doesn't mean hit it, but it means push it away afterwards. I'm sorry? No, this is not on Shabbos. Not talking about on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following. Hani mili b'davra. That's only true. Davra literally means desert. Right? This is only talking about a place, again, where, let's say, access to food would not be so regular. Aval b'masa lo. But don't do this in the city. The asal misrach, because ultimately in the city, the dog will, misrach literally means follow along. That if you go ahead and you feed the dog, meaning in the city, the pastor says there are other opportunities for the dog to eat, the dog will scavenge. And if you feed it, just understand the dog will follow you. Amra papa, less the anya mikalba. There is no animal that is poorer, more impoverished than the dog. The less the atir mechazira. And there is no animal that is richer than the pig. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Look at Rashi. Lest the asir mechazira, there's no animal richer than the pig. Shekol ma'achol ro'ilo. The pig apparently is not very selective in its diet. Umotza le'echol va'af ma'achilun lo harbe. Therefore, the pig always has plenty to eat. This is plenty to eat. So whereas the dog is a scavenger, there's no animal more impoverished than the dog, no animal richer than the pig. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, just to finish off the sugya, a brisa that supports Rabbi Yehuda. Ezohi Hamara ve'ezohi Ha'alata. What is the case of Hamara? What is the case of Ha'alata? Hamara Marbitza. The case of Hamara is Marbitza. Marbitza means you bring the animal to its knees. Pokes Espia. You prop open its mouth. Uma'achilo karshinin umayim bevas achos. And you go out and you feed it karshinin. Karshinin is vetch, which is animal feed, and water at once. Hal ota is ma'achila mu'umad. You go ahead and you feed it while it's standing up. Umashke mu'umad. You give it the drink while it's standing up. Venosin karshina bifne asman, umayim bifne asman. And you give it the vetch when it's you give it the vetch by itself and the water by itself. There was a little step over here. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Mir tashem. Just a quick scene.